Good morning. Good to see you this morning on this warm, balmy day in comparison to what it's going to be next Sunday. If you're like me, you're looking ahead and you're already shivering. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. There are certain things that happen in life that once they occur, everything is a little different. One that comes to mind is marriage. Marriage changes life. It changes outlook. It changes so many things. Having that first child is a life-changing experience. Suddenly, the center of your world shifts, and then each child that comes after that, there's another seismic shift in your life. For teenagers, I think one of those moments is getting that driver's license. That suddenly opens up a new world of possibilities and independence, that little card with the picture on it. There's things that come into our life that make an impact, such an impact that it's different moving forward. Sometimes better, sometimes not as good, but different. Salvation is one of those. I think especially for those individuals that really comprehend what has just happened. In my experience, some folks come to salvation, and it's such a natural, especially if they grew up in a Christian home like I did, it seems to be like such a natural part of life that it takes a while for them to really sink in what has happened, what an amazing thing this is, that I actually... Now I'm in a posture where God looks at me as forgiven. Those things that used to separate us no longer separate us. If you grew up in the Christian home, that may not become your awareness at first as you know more about the Word of God and God Himself. But then I've seen individuals who have come to Christ and after a hard life, a lot of bad choices and the ramifications of those choices, and they sometimes even come to that relationship with a strong sense of doubt. God really can't. If God really knew what I've done in my life, there's no way He would ever want a relationship with Him. And so when it finally dawns on Him that that's actually not true, that He in fact loves them, there's like this immediate change, and I've watched some of those individuals and just how excited they are to know that that's their position. So that's another one of those things that just impacts life from that point on. We talked last week about another one of those, and I think one that Paul indicates that each one of us have to come to a point where we make the decision, much like salvation, where salvation can't be, we can never say, well, I grew up, my dad was a pastor, so sure, I'm a Christian, or I grew up in the church, so I'm a Christian, or I got Sunday school pins. Remember the days when they used to get the Sunday school pins? Got a bunch of those in my jewelry box. So I must be a Christian. Salvation isn't that way. It's an individual decision. Everyone has to make that decision for themselves. They got to come to that point where they say, yes, I do believe, God, your word says you sent your son into this earth to die on the cross for my sins, that you promised me that if I'll accept the gift of forgiveness you're offering, that you will adopt me into your family, and you will in fact come and live within me forever. And so that's an individual decision. Well, this is too. We talked about this last week in this letter we're looking at that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, the Christians in Philippi. And he says, there comes this point where a believer who has salvation, they've accepted the gift, but there still comes this point where each believer on their own has to make a decision regarding whatever happens, remember? Regarding what their life is going to revolve around. We may know the Lord, but the reality, and we may know where our position is regarding Him, that we are His child, we're looking forward to heaven, but the reality is, I believe a lot of us have never come to the point where we've said, okay, God, I'm yours. All of me, every part of me, every moment of my life, every decision I make, I want to be wrapped around you. Whatever happens, remember, and this is the way Paul came to it. He says, we come to this point where we say, whatever happens, death or life, sickness or health, good times, bad times, kind of sounds like a marriage ceremony, which maybe is one reason the Word of God uses marriage as an illustration of the relationship that we have with Jesus. But whatever happens, whatever each day brings, whatever decisions you have made regarding my life in the days ahead, in the year ahead, whatever happens, I am going to make my life about you, period. It's a big decision. And like I say, I'm not sure that, all of us have made it. He's a part of our life. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want to be a part of our life. He wants to be our life. And that's a point we come to where at some point we either make that decision or we don't. It's up to us individually to decide that. One of the things I really have always appreciated about the Apostle Paul, and since he's the one that brought this up, I've always appreciated the letters that he writes, and this is really common for Paul. You know, he'll bring up some important spiritual truth, like what we're talking about here, some significant thing about God that we need to know. Sometimes we call it doctrine. He'll bring up these doctrinal significant truths, and then he'll lay them out in Scripture. Book of Romans, his letter to the Roman church, full of that kind of information. But usually, in fact, I'm trying to think, I think in every instance, after he's done that, after he's talked about this in truth about God that we should know and about ourselves and relationship with God that we should know, then he always does this, let me show you what that looks like. And I appreciate that. Someone that sometimes maybe is a little dull about things, you know, you can explain it to me, but that doesn't mean I really understand. He then will turn a corner and say, okay, let me show you practically how that works its way out in life, what it will look like, whatever this statement, whatever happens, how will that look in my life if, in fact, I made that decision in regard to my relationship with God, and I meant it. And that's exactly what he does here with that, what we talked about last with this statement, whatever happens, I commit myself, Lord, I want to live in a way that brings you glory. So back in the letter to the Philippian church, Philippians, we're going to go into chapter 2 today, and we actually got into a little bit of chapter 2 a few weeks ago, but Philippians chapter 2, and as responding to this, as Paul says, let me show you or talk to you about a whatever happens life looks like. Let me give you some examples. And so that's what he's doing here, and that's what he's doing as we open up into chapter 1, where Paul writes this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. And here's where the practicality comes. Here's where where he lays out, this is what whatever happens looks like. By having the same love, being one in spirit, and then Paul goes on, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at this passage a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to walk down through it again, but basically Paul says, coming to a whatever happens decision, which is what he's talking about here, should have a dramatic impact on not only our relationship with God, because he comes the focal point of our life and everything we do in life, but it should have a dramatic impact on our relationships with each other, with others. What does that look like? Paul says, well, it looks like Jesus Christ. We should look like Jesus Christ in our relationship with each other. And then he walks down through some things that we looked at a few weeks ago, how he placed our well-being above his own. We saw that in this passage here. He our circumstance, he prioritized over his circumstances. We were destined for separation from God for eternity because of sin. He was in heaven enjoying all the attributes of being God, but he prioritized our circumstances. He wanted to take care of our circumstances. That was more important to him than keeping his posture, his position at that point. He made our needs. He responded above his needs. And so that's what we're talking about here. He's saying, this is what this looks like practically. If I say to God, whatever happens, Lord, I am going to conduct myself in a manner worthy of my Lord and my God, then he says, that's what it looks like. It looks like one of the ways it impacts our day-to-day life, how it works its way out in our daily routine is in the way we respond to each other, in the way we care for each other. So, now he continues this insight. I'm going to skip down at this point to verse 12 because we're going to keep walking through this. In fact, for the next couple of weeks, Lord William, we're going to walk through these practical insights into how a life that is totally wrapped in God and conformed, wanting to be pleasing to God, what that kind of life, how it looks in the day-to-day life. So skip down to verse 12 where we read this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We're going to have to spend a little time in this verse if you're paying attention, because there may be a few things as you're looking at this and you're saying, oh, cool, wait a minute, what does that mean? Because that sounds like a little different than what I've heard before, especially in regard to salvation. And so I want to spend a little time. We're going to settle here on this verse. In fact, we're spending the rest of this time this morning on this verse because there's things that we need to think through. First of all, Paul's saying to these Christians in Philippi, this is a letter to those Christians, he's saying one of the things he's learned about them as followers of Christ. He's saying, I've learned that you are not pretenders. You're not brown nosers. You're not teachers' pets, however you want to put it. He says, you have demonstrated your desire to do right is there regardless of who's around. Whether I'm around talking to Apostle Paul, he says, whether I'm with you or not, what I've found out is, the things that you committed to God, you meant, because you do it whether I'm watching over you or not, whether I'm present with you or not. You do it all the time. Why is this a big deal to Paul? Well, for one thing, if you look at his other letters to the other churches, often this has not been the case. You read the letter to Galatians, you find that he's writing to them, and he's really writing to them out of a very disappointed heart. Because what he's discovered is, and these are churches that he helped start, he went into these areas, he started sharing the good news. People came to understand what God was offering him, that gift of forgiveness and adoption in his family. People responded to that, and then they began to gather together as believers and worship together. And so he launched these churches in these various areas, and then he moved on to another area. But what he has discovered is often what has happened is while he was there, things are going great, but when he leaves, the sinful patterns that were there before start creeping back in, and they start living some of the things that they lived before they were when they weren't a believer. And not only that, they start believing things that aren't true. Other false teachers come in and they're saying, "Oh yeah, that sounds pretty good. I think I like that too because it makes more sense than what I want to do." And so for Paul, often one of his disappointment has been that he has to write a letter back to these churches saying, "What are you guys doing? why are you slipping back into things that were destroying your life and destroying the lives of those around you? Why would you do that? And so often that's the flavor of the letters, except in this one, it's not. It's, he says, I've learned, I've heard your whatever happens is real. You live it all the time. You meant it. You know, one of the criticisms we often face as Christians, as followers of Christ, is that we live double lives. We live, we talk, we act one way in these kind of gatherings, around our church family and around brothers and sisters in Christ and these environments. So, but then we become different when we get out into the real world, you know? This is kind of our weekend set aside worship, and this is this is about you, God. But then we get into the real world, and we make a distinction, and suddenly the things that we sang and talked about and maybe studied together kind of move aside, and we start dealing with things in life just like everyone else does. And folks watch that, and they see it, and they say, wait a minute, isn't he a Christian? Isn't he one of those church people? Or even more importantly, our children watch that. And I've got to tell you, pastors are certainly not exempt from this criticism. I know way too many pastors' kids and missionary kids who, as they've grown up, they have walked away from their faith. And the main reason is because what they saw and heard their parents say and do around other Christians, and when they were in the church environment or in those worship environments, was not really how they lived the rest of the week in the home or whatever the case may be. And that was discouraging to them. And they watched that. And so they grew up and they saw their parents talk about how important God was, that he was first in their life and that serving him was their priority. But then they watched their parents and they realized that God really wasn't their priority. God was somewhere down the priority scale, you know, that God was kind of delegated to if I have time, a slot. And if our children see that in their life, they pick up on that. So if they see that he's not really the priority, well, then we shouldn't be surprised when they start reaching that age where they're gaining their own independence, they're stretching their wings. We shouldn't be surprised if they stretch God right out of the picture. And so many children in Christian families have done exactly that. And it's not always the reason, obviously, but too many times it is. Too many times it is because they watch our lives. And like I say, pastors and missionaries, they aren't exempt from that. Our children watch us. They watch to see if our talk matches our walk, which is what we're talking about here, is this: when we say that, God, you are the focal point of my life, then if that's the case, Paul says, and if that really is the case, it will show up in the way our daily life goes. If it's not our priority, even though we've said it is, that will show up as well. So Paul says to these believers, what I've discovered about you and is that you've proven that your faith is a daily faith. It's real. You've proven that when you said that God, your life was wrapped around God, he is the focal point of everything you do and say, you've proven that that's true. That's true. He says, so let me encourage you to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that's a scary phrase, isn't it? At least I think if we're thinking about it, it should be. Look at us and say, well, what does that mean? Because that's not what I've heard Paul, you say up front here about salvation. That's not even what the Apostle Paul has said before. It sounds like now you're saying that salvation, coming to Christ, that acceptance and forgiveness, maybe that isn't a done deal. Maybe, it's not really a gift. It is dependent on what I do, because that kind of sounds like I'm supposed to work it out. And we'll see if salvation is really yours or not. And so what's going on here? I thought it was a free gift. I thought it was eternal. I thought that it couldn't be taken away. Once I came to Christ, nothing could interfere with that. Paul says in his letter to Romans, he asks the question, what can separate us from the love of God? And he answers that question, nothing. Nothing. And if you're in Christ, that's what he says. He qualifies that. If you are in Christ, if you've accepted that offer of forgiveness and eternal life, that's what we call salvation, then nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. So what's he talking about here? Because this doesn't sound like that. So what's going on? Well, first of all, I want you to realize he is not saying that your salvation or my salvation is in jeopardy. He's not saying that, we'll wait and see. Maybe. That's not what is going on here. He is not trying to give that impression. Our salvation is a gift. But what he is saying is, when it comes to that salvation, it should be making a difference in our life. We should live it out. In fact, really what he's saying to these folks is, here's what I've heard. I've heard that whether I'm there or not, the things that you state about your life being wrapped around God, you prove by the way you live your life. And really what this phrase means is, so keep it up. Keep it up. Keep living out your relationship with God in front of everyone so they can see the reality of who God is in your life. In fact, skip down. We'll get down to this passage in more detail, Lord willing, next week. But skip down to the end of verse 15 where he says in which you shine like stars in the universe. He's saying that if the commitment to whatever happens is real, then it will be visible in our life to the point where it shines like the stars in the universe. Everyone can see it. They see your salvation being worked out right in front of them. So keep it up. That's what he's saying to them. Keep it up. He talks in the end there where he says, with fear and trembling. In other words, he's saying, look, if I'm afraid of anything, I'm not afraid of losing my salvation. I'm not afraid of whether or not I'm going to get to stand before God someday and be welcomed into his presence. I know that's going to happen because it's promised by God. The thing I fear, and I've talked about this, and we've talked about this, what I fear is, God, I have such a reverence for you. That's what this means, this fear. I have such high regard, such respect, such reverence for you that the thing that gives me anxiety is the thought that I might not live up to what I've committed in my heart. That it may not be that obvious, and I want it to be obvious. I want to shine like that star. So he's not talking about losing our relationship with God. That's not possible. But he's saying, I want you to, if you're going to be concerned about everything, anything, be concerned about this. Lord, I want it to be so real that I've wrapped my life around your life, around you, God, that there's no misunderstanding. My kids watch me and they say, you know what? That's not just about what he says on Sundays. What he says on Sundays are where he is on Monday. My friends look at my life and they see that the way I make decisions in my business, that what's most important to me is that I make those decisions in a way that honors God, even if it means costing me, even if it means losing a customer because I have to tell them the truth and I know they don't want to hear it and it'd be so much easier to lie. But I live my faith out in front of everyone and it's real. I work my salvation out in front of the world, my commitment to God. In case you're missing, and this is important, and this is how Paul, he sees, in case we haven't got this, in case someone may still be sitting here thinking, yeah, I don't know, maybe this is saying that my salvation, you know, it's still an iffy thing. Well, look at verse 13. Think it's iffy? For it is God who works in you and will act according to his good purpose. See, that aspect of salvation is on God. He's going to finish what he's completed. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 6, we saw it, Paul said it again. Being confident of this, Paul's saying, if I know one thing, I know this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul's not putting the burden of our salvation back on our shoulders. No, that's not what he's saying at all. God's got that covered. He is going to complete what he started in your life and in my life. What Paul's saying is, focus your life around God and live it out in front of everyone. Let the world see. Be that shining light that shows, that demonstrates clearly that you have made a whatever happens decision. Whatever happens, God, I want to bring you glory. That's the desire of my heart and the focal part of my life. As I move forward day by day, as I move forward into 2024, as I move forward into whatever you have in mind for me, Lord, in the days ahead. Then Paul gets into more of the practical stuff of what this will actually look like. Let me just read verses 14 and 15. He goes on and says, get to the right verse, do everything without complaining. What is making God the whatever happens of my life? What does it look like? Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and deprived generation. We hear those words now. We're going to dig into this next week, but who are we right now? If that doesn't describe you and I as God followers right now, children in a deprived and crooked generation, if that doesn't describe where we are right now and why that shining like the stars of the universe is so important, then I don't know what does. So that's why this is so important, because if we're to make a difference, we were having, we meet together for breakfast once a month usually, Lord willing, and first Saturday of the month, and no agenda, just to be together, just to keep relationship, and sometimes everybody can make it, sometimes can't, we're talking yesterday, and Justin actually brought up the fact that he had read a statistic this recently that said that I don't remember how many years, but at least a few decades out, we will be a mostly Muslim nation because the Muslim women have will have 2 to 3 children, and Christians usually have 1 or 2 children just by sheer number. But you know, as I heard that, I thought, oh God, that's not a given. That's just a lot more folks that need to hear the good news, and why it's so important that we shine like stars in the universe. Why it's so important that we come to this decision of, Lord, whatever happens, you are the focus of my life. Why we make that decision, and not only make that decision, but we live it out in very practical ways in our day-to-day life. We're going to dig into this more next week, but bow in a word of prayer with me today. Father, thanks for just your word and just this opportunity to think it through. Thank you for realizing that we need more. We needed more than just okay. You need to make a decision, my children, about what place I hold in your life. We need to know that. This whatever happens is a big deal. We talked a lot about that last week, Lord. But thank you for knowing that we need examples of how that works out. And Lord, I want to be one of those people like Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi, that it's not about whether what I look like in front of my church family or whether so-and-so is watching me. It is about I live my life with you on the throne. I live my life in a way that proves that every decision I make, everything I'm about, is about you, God. I work my salvation out in the open where anyone can see that you are what I am about. And that's, I pray, the desire of each of our heart in this room today. Thanks for your word and for challenging us in this direction. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Well, church, would you stand with me? Let's sing one last chorus together. Sing this with me. How marvelous.
And how marvelous. How wonderful. And my song shall live.
One more time as we close.
We're singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
On that note, church, have a great week. We'll see you next time.